Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Welcome, my friends, to our worship podcast on Palm Sunday for the year 2021. It's a joy to have you joining us from wherever you are. And we are thrilled to be able to connect with you on this day as Jesus enters the city. Know that whether we are worshiping here in this unique and exciting format or in person on the lawn as we do on 10:30 on Sunday mornings, or if you're listening to video recordings of sermons, however you come to us and connect, we are a community that values you and accepts you and welcomes you just like you are. So let us prepare to be in worship together on this sacred day as we begin Holy Week 2021. Amen.
Call to worship. Today we line the streets and wave our arms and palm branches. Today we throw our coats on the street for the donkey and the prophet to pass. Today we claim Jesus as the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And today we shout Hosanna! For truly our God has come to us in Christ Jesus. Come, let us lift our hearts in worship and celebration as Jesus enters the city. Amen. This is a day of celebration. It is a day of open eyes and liberated hearts. For into our presence, into our reality, comes Jesus of Nazareth. He comes in humility and joy. He comes in power and justice. And as he comes down our streets, he looks directly at each one of us and calls us to moment of truth. This moment bids us say the truth about our lives, about choices we have made and not made, about what is truly in our hearts. Come, let us respond as we enter into confessional prayer together. Prayer of Confession. Holy God, we come to you in prayer this day while the palm branches wave and we shout with the crowds. We come carried by the excitement, by the wonder, and the joy. But we also arrive, Lord, knowing that it's easy to jump and shout for an hour or so. Not so easy is the act of giving our lives over to you. We know this because we have been here before. We know this because we have been caught in moments like this too many times without following through and offering our lives. Forgive us, God. Have mercy on us for half-hearted attempts and fearful turning from your call. Forgive our unwillingness to surrender our own wants and desires
so that we may devote our whole hearts to you. Pour out a new spirit upon us, we pray, so that on this day we might begin anew the journey of giving our lives to you. Hear us, Lord, and in your mercy forgive us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our God teaches us to embrace each one of us as we offer ourselves in hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
The first reading is from Psalm 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This ends the reading.
The next scripture is from Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there a colt that is tied, that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take him. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their coats on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Well, I'm wondering if, as we prepare our hearts to unpack the scripture today, that we might pray together. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Holy God, on this unbelievable day of celebration and joy, we offer our hearts to you. We come this day, God, as your people, fully committed, fully present. And as we work together to search the word today, the sacred text, we ask that the meditations of our common heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, God. For you and you alone are our rock and redeemer. To you and to you alone do we owe our allegiance. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to wish everyone, of course, a joyous and wonderful Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. I love this day. Wow. This is one of those days in our Christian calendar when we do not hold back. Today, we stand with the crowds, waving the palm branches and shout hosannas and more. Today, we climb out of the trenches of our cynicism and rise to greet Jesus as he saunters into town on a donkey. A donkey. Yeah, There's an interesting thing there. We need really only go to the prophet Zechariah to discover that Jesus is trying to echo the poem found in the 9th chapter there about a king who is both powerful and humble, king who sees his people as the true jewels in his crown. It's this sense of humility and power woven together that seeks us out today, friends. And it begins, frankly, before the parade starts, when Jesus sends the disciples out ahead to go and grab this donkey. And I mean grab it. They're going to untie it and bring it. And Jesus says, if anyone asks anything why you're doing this, just tell them the master has need of it. I mean, honestly, essentially, we have Jesus, the disciples, stealing a donkey at the instruction of Jesus. Now, I know. Some folks would say Jesus set it up all ahead of time. That's possible. And some folks might say that Jesus psychically knew that the donkey would be there and it was all preordained. That's also possible. And there are a lot of theories actually put forth around this. But the truth is that the text simply doesn't give us this information. It doesn't tell us. What we do have is the disciples being sent to grab this donkey, a possession of a man who likely didn't have much. Indeed, one could assume without too much trouble that the donkey was part of the person's livelihood. I mean, let's think of it in a bit of a more contemporary way. You know, you're a low-income worker in the so-called gig economy. You drive for Uber or Lyft, and that car of yours is your lifeline. Then one day you come out with some friends and there are some guys jump-starting your car and you say, what's up? What are you doing with my car? And the men look calmly and here's what they say. The master has need of it. And oh yeah, we'll get it back to you later. Really? The master has need of it. Who is this master anyway? And does he need it more than I do? I mean, I need to use this to feed my family. Does this master have a family himself? Does he have kids to feed? I mean, you can hear these really pretty reasonable questions, am I right? At least they're questions I'd be asking, wouldn't you? You know, I can hear myself anyway. Excuse me, please step away from the donkey. And they're saying back, it's okay. The master has need of it. And I get obstreperous at times, and I might say, well, if you don't step away from that donkey, I'll show you something about need. And I can imagine this conversation actually taking place. But then there's something else, isn't there? There's something here in this piece of the story that goes to the core of who we are, my friend, something that opens the floodgate of trust. And somehow they just say, fine, take the car or the donkey. And you got to ask, what exactly happened here? I mean, the master has need of it? Somehow, something happened that allowed these bystanders to let them take the donkey. And remember, this donkey's important, very important, something valuable. And somehow, in the rhythm of this story, something significant was released because the master needed it. I find this personally pretty amazing. And I wonder how such a thing would unfold for you, for me. What is there of importance or significance within you that the master needs? And would you be willing to release whatever the master needs, even if it's significant, important to you? The master might need your gregarious spirit to go forth and invite people into Christian community. The master might need your generous heart to give something of substance for the betterment of the community. What might that be? Grace, forgiveness, material wealth, resources, skills, talents. What is it that is in your possession that the master needs so that he can ride into Jerusalem? What is it that the master needs from you so that he can ride into Petaluma to announce that the kingdom has come near? Maybe not your donkey or your car, but what? And perhaps more significant than wondering what the master needs is gauging our willingness to give him whatever it is he asks. This selflessness is the starting place of faith, of trust, of releasing our own agendas and desires and orienting them so that they align with what God wants, what God needs. Releasing what the master needs is our very pathway to self-denial and enlightenment, the pathway quite literally to life eternal. So the question comes to us on Palm Sunday, 2021, what does the master need from you, from me, from us? Seems to me that if we're honest, if we look at what this story has to teach us, that the master might need that which will bring him into the city. Maybe it's not a donkey or a Honda Accord, but maybe now it's a different kind of conveyance. Maybe now the disciples are coming to us and untying us so that we ourselves might be the very way that Jesus travels into the city. Could it be that now, in this moment, you are being untied by the disciples, unbinding us from the captivity of our own desires, the tyranny of what we want? And in the midst of the untying, the world looks up and says, "What are you doing?" And we say again, with the disciples, the master has need. Skyler, or Pat, or Richard, or Rob, or Bob, or Elaine, or any of you. I'm convinced, friends, that the master does have need of us in this moment, in these days, at this point in the life of the church. And he has sent the disciples to untie us, to identify us as the very ones who are to convey Jesus into the city, into the hearts of our friends, our neighbors, our families, our co-workers, and even the strangers around us, for us to be the way, the means, that Jesus finds his way into the world again, even in the midst of pandemic and social chaos, even as a fickle crowd lines the streets today to cheer, knowing that in just a week they'll be there to jeer and condemn. You, as Christian community, friends, have been untied. You have been released because the Master has need of you, has need of us, has need of Petaluma United Methodist Church. Our work together, friends, during this Holy Week is huge. Our job is to pray, to discern, to flex our unbound spirits, and to take a fearless inventory of the gifts that God might be calling forth from us in this moment. So today, when the crowds disperse, today, when we find ourselves with a moment to process and think, I hope we can see that the disciples have indeed loosened the bonds. They've untied the ropes, and they're bidding us to carry Jesus into town. Each one of you has a unique and powerful capacity to do this. All of us together can clearly get him into town with wonder and joy. I ask you again, what does the master have need of in you? How will we carry him, his spirit, his love into Petaluma, into the world? Well, it's worth some consideration. It's worth the thought. It's worth releasing whatever it is to a wonderful Savior who comes this day as we shout loud hosannas. Hosanna, hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Amen. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Oh, gracious God, who saunters into Jerusalem this day, we come and do not hold back in our enthusiasm. We come at the sides and the edges of the crowd, and we too wave our palm branches high. We too shout with the children and the elders, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And we too look with eager anticipation to see what is ahead, to see what comes. And even in the midst of all this, God, we gather here, we come here as ones who walk our daily walk. We come here as ones who know what it means to give ourselves, who know what it means to hurt and to be lonesome. We come as ones who travel the geography of human experience, God, and there are those among us who are very tired, God. There are those among us, even as we wave the palm branch, are feeling the pain of grief, the sorrow of loss and isolation. And we pray this day that you will pour a spirit upon us that will engage us, lift us up, recreate us, God, as your people, as your church, that you might come into the consciousness and the heart of each one of us. And where we are wounded, we pray you will heal us. Where we are weary and tired, that you will lift us up and give us new power. That where we know the sorrow of loss and isolation, that you will accompany us and embrace us in your grace. God, we pray this, all of this, as we contemplate, as we struggle together, to know that you are calling us to be the ones who carry you into this city, that you're calling us to be the ones who release whatever you need so that the gospel might be shared and the community might be made powerful and hopeful. We pray all this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami mailo malangi, me varoro taikine dhamuni, me adhamaina nomuni matintu, me dhagana lo mamuni burbura, me pakasa dhaga mailo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kakane rutiki mami. Nimbukoda manda nineme miradala, me pakaki mami sambukoda, were sadadala viki mami. Nikaku nikotiki mami gine vere, kamuni vambule ike mami mene dha, nisa nomuni na matinitu, kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asangani mundu. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, we have arrived now at the moment in our worship when we return a portion of the abundant blessings God has showered upon us. We return them to the church so that we together might discern and focus and do the work God has called us to do here in Petaluma and around the world through our great United Methodist connection. There's a lot of ways that you can give. You can certainly write a check and send it to the church at 410 D Street in Petaluma. You can also drop a check by and put it in the mail slot. And now on our website, we have a donation portal. You go to www.petalumaumc.org. And click the donate button, and it'll help you out. And friends, we even now have a way to give through texting, and there are instructions in this bulletin on how to do that. However you give, I want to thank you for your generosity. However you donate, I want to thank you in advance for stretching to give so that our church might move through this time of struggle and pandemic and emerge with wonder and joy. I give you thanks. I give thanks for you, rather, in this time, for your generous hearts and the capacity of your wonderful spirits. Amen. And Lord God, we dedicate these gifts to you and to service in the work that we know you call us to do. As we dedicate these gifts, we invite you to unlock our hearts further so that we might become more generous, that we might give more of ourselves, that we might know what the Lord has need of, and that we might respond not with a portion of our blessings, but with the fullness and wholeness of our entire being. For you are our rock and our redeemer. You are our Lord and Savior. And so we dedicate these gifts and even our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear this poem by Bishop Ken Untener as our benediction. This is what we are about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are the workers, not the master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future not our own. And now may the peace of God go with you and live in you and provoke you in wonderful and powerful ways. In the name of the Creator, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.